What we say pop culture and pod, I can't even say it.
Pop culture Parsha. Okay. Welcome to pop culture Parsha.
I can't even say it. I should
you
learn
interrupted
it.
Me while I was saying it.
I should learn how to say it. This week's Parsha.
No. You have to introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Shoshana. I'm sorry. I'm new to this. I'm Shoshana. Everyone knows my whole story last time because
I did
it last time.
No, you have to do.
That was the voracious.
No, you have to do your pop culture tagline.
Our moment, like what I am for the week. I'm Shoshana, and the pop culture moment that I am at the moment is the dance to Oh Mickey, You're So Fine at the end of Bring It On, that like goes through the credits. That's what I am at the moment.
I'm Valerie. And I'm Stupid Cupid as performed in The Princess Diaries.
Nice. Which you said that you wanted to perform on a later episode.
Listen, if you want me to perform anytime, I will sing on this mic.
I don't think we can afford those royalties.
Yeah, that's true.
We need maybe some sponsorships before we get to sing Stupid Cupid.
When we get a Patreon, I will release Stupid
How about
Cupid.
This? If we get picked up, and if we use the Princess Diaries for the episode that we've been planning, the Princess Diaries, I'll post it on my Instagram, and I'll just make it like a story highlight with nothing but you singing Stupid Cupid.
Perfect.
Done.
Okay.
I feel like we should shake on it, but COVID.
Wow, I'm gonna have to like take voice lessons. This is getting serious.
Is that all for introduction? Can we get to the Parsha?
Yes.
I've been asked to give a brief recap of this week's Parsha. It's Parshat Noach. I'm just going to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. For the more Ashkenazi of us, it's Parshas Noach. I do know someone in Sydney who spells his name like N-E-A-C-H. Because it's Noach, but the family pronounces it Neach. And
wow.
So he... And my brother told me that one of his friends saw, because like he's a community rabbi, he saw Noach on the poster. And my friend, like my brother's friend, goes, "Who's Nietzsche?"
And he's like, "Oh, he's this philosopher."
Yeah, exactly. Well, I just assume that Neach is not going to be listening to this podcast because I don't think any of our interests overlap.
The Torah.
Not even the Torah, the Torah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Parshat Noach. Let's get back to it. Parshat Noach is about Noach. Humanity is bad at the end of last week's Parsha.
The worst.
Like at the end of last week's Parsha, at the end of Bereshit is when God says, "I think I'm going to destroy everything." And then Parshat Noach is when we introduce Noach and the ark, and he builds it and it rains. Scary. There's after the ark, they get off the ark, they're the last humans alive. There's a rainbow, God's covenant. Then some like interesting things that didn't. Okay, so the movie that we watched this week didn't include this next part of like something bad happens in Noach's tent with his son, and then he curses his son because of like what we assume is a sexual impropriety and like a sexual assault. And then after that, it sort of skips over it, and then it goes into like all of the. It basically lists, like it does at the end of Bereshit, all of the like the lineage that links Noach and his line directly to Abraham.
I thought you were saying that was in the movie, and I was like, "That is not
that
in the movie."
We watched two different. No, this is in the parasha still. And then what happens is, at the very end of Lech Lecha, we're introduced to a man named Avram, and his father Terach. And Terach, fun fact, is the one who's commanded at the end of Parashat Noach to leave this. Or Kazdim or, and they leave there, and then they head off, and that is, it ends that Terach dies in Haran. And then that leads into next Parsha, which we won't even get into because spoilers.
Wow. We'll have to get picked up for you to hear our take.
Aviva, if you want to hear what we're doing for Lech Lecha, I'm not telling you until you give us a podcast. So, Valerie, would you like to tell the people what movie we watched and give a very short recap of said movie?
Yes. So we gave a teaser at the end of the last episode that we were going to be watching Evan Almighty. This was a little bit of a discussion between the two of us. It was like our first machloket, I think, on the podcast.
Matters.
And I will tell you that because we were discussing watching, as I think we talked about on the last episode, Noah, the movie that has Russell Crowe.
And Jennifer Connelly's in it. There are so many good eyebrows in that movie. Logan Lerman's so eyebrows true. And Jennifer Connelly's eyebrows.
She was excellent casting for Nama. And they call her Nama in the movie. Her name.
Would you like to tell the people what Evan Almighty's wife's name? Oh, no, we're not even up to there.
Let's just go back. Okay. I'm so sorry. No, but this is what I was going to tell you.
Yes.
Is that one of the things that, so I looked up like Noah pop culture, and one of the things that came up was Noah Land, which is an amusement park. It's like Noah's Ark Land.
Yeah.
I don't remember. That's not important. Because I was like, oh my God, this would be so funny. We could like talk about the theme park and like each of the rides and what they correspond to. None of the rides were Noah's Ark themed.
That's so stupid.
It was Noah's Ark theme park, but there was nothing Noah's Ark about it. I was so upset.
Why? That's such a Christian move. Like I've been like deep into this one side of TikTok, not to bring up TikTok again. Of people talking about their experiences at like this Christian amusement park, and about how every night, instead of like the parade that Disney does, it was like they crucify Jesus. And so it's all of these like now grown up kids being like, I was like hugely scarred at the Christian theme park. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway, speaking of trauma, and Evan Almighty, Steve Carell is a politician a recently elected member of Congress. I offered to explain our political system to Shoshana, but she declined.
Is Congress the one, is it the Senate?
No, Congress is, there's representatives based on the population of each state. So you have at least two, but you have up to like, I don't know, California is like 500. No, I'm just kidding. That's way too many.
Does the House
California
of Repres- has
like 15 maybe.
Does the House of Representatives?
I sound stupid. What?
Is it the House of Representatives?
Yeah, and then the Senate is the other one where everyone has two representatives from each state.
Okay, but this one is based on... So there's three different branches of government?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Then where's the president?
The president is a part of... You're really going to quiz me on this? The president is a part of the executive branch, which oversees... Okay. The three branches, the Congress, the Senate, and the federal justice system.
The Father, the court system. Son, the Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay.
It is a Christian-based country.
I'll take it. Okay, so we're watching Evan Almighty. He's a congressman.
He's a congressman.
He's the Holy Ghost.
Exactly. He's married to Lauren Graham.
Love it.
Whose name in the movie is Joan.
Of Arc.
Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc. Do you get the joke? But I will say that... we didn't even know her name. They might have said it and we skipped, like didn't hear it. The way we figured out her name is from the subtitles, which leads me to my first point, which is that it's been what, like a couple millennia, and Noah's wife
still doesn't really get a name.
Doesn't get a name, but also like doesn't have a function. Like Lauren Graham's whole function is like, I'm gonna be a wife and be upset during my husband's midlife crisis, which is like very indicative of all film and TV, right? Like that is an issue.
Does she have her own job?
No, she keeps the home. She's like, things are hard here. And he's like, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, the house itself, it's so big and crazy. And like, oh, well, you don't have enough time to clean it, Lauren Graham? Like, you know what I mean?
You're definitely not helping with the arc.
I know, she's not. She's just complaining about the arc.
Anyway, so Morgan Freeman comes to Steve Carell and... First he just starts seeing 6:14 everywhere, right?
Like, yeah, you see, like, his alarm clock goes from 6:13 to 6:14. It's interesting they chose 6:14, which was just, like, you shall build me an ark made of gopher wood. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make it out an ark with compartments, and cover it inside and out with pitch. I'm upset they didn't choose 6:13, not only because it represents mitzvot.
Please read it to us.
Mitzvot, but 6:13 in Parshat Noach. And God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with lawlessness because of them. I'm about to destroy them with the earth. That is the JPS translation. And I think a lot of things about this movie. I think one of the things is if you wanted to turn it into a horror movie, it would be so easy. One of the things, just add scary music if it becomes The Shining.
Right.
Secondly would be make 6:13 appear everywhere because this is infinitely more terrifying than, well, let's go make a boat, buddy.
It's like the man is going crazy.
Yeah.
And his wife is just like
helplessly watching.
What is going on?
Like, there's the point she like packs her bags, like, and her kids' bags, and she's like, we have to go. We have to
go.
We're going
to stay with my mother.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, in the movie world, she sucks. But in the real world, if my husband was going crazy, then that's the safe call. That's the right, she made the right decision. Like,
she waits so long to make that decision.
And
the first time he's like, I bought all this property. Yeah, 8 different lots of land.
And does she not check their personal finances to see that? Which leads me to my second point of this movie, is that everyone just doesn't notice things. Like, the skill of just being able to look with your eyes is missing in this movie. He grows a beard overnight, and his wife's like, how'd you do that? And then when he talks about God, she's like, no, this is too much. But I'm like, you saw his beard grow out of his head like a week ago.
Well, okay, so let's talk about this. At what point in either the biblical version or in the movie version we just watched would you, as Noah, like, accept the will of God?
I don't know. I'd be like Moshe style. I'd have to get like signs from God, or like Gideon style.
Right.
You know, is my arm going to get Sarat? Can this stick turn into a snake?
Right.
If you can prove that to me, if you can turn a stick into a snake.
If you can make a bush burn without disappearing.
Give me a burning bush and maybe then I'll do it.
I'm going to skip the burning bush joke here, but
here's the thing. The Gideon version of the burning bush would be, give me a wet fleece. Give me a fleece covered in dew.
If all of a sudden all of my coats had many colors, I think I would get the idea. You like that?
Nice.
Thank you. Next. And if you were Nama/Joan?
How long would it take me to be like, I'm out?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a different answer. If I'm in Tanakh times, I'm in biblical times, I have nothing to do. There's no TV. I don't have a job. I sweep my hut. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Watching my husband build a boat, most exciting part of my day. Like, hands down. If I'm Joan, the second he starts, like, I don't know. The second he starts talking about God, I think, I'm like, out.
Wow.
I would genuinely suggest he see a therapist, which she doesn't do. She's just like, snap out of it. But it's also made in 2007.
Well, she does try to be like, it seems like you're going through something.
Yeah, she does.
What's going on?
I think she does all of the right things, except not exist as a human woman because she was written by a man.
I don't know. It sounds like I'm a lot more faith-driven
than
you are.
Just like Morgan Freeman appears and you're like, I will do anything you say, Mr. Freeman.
Oh, are you? If Morgan Freeman appeared to me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What, you wouldn't? Don't you think at this point, like, God would be like, okay, the humans all think my form is that of Morgan Freeman. So wouldn't you choose to appear in a Morgan Freeman type?
No.
I just worry that, like, I wouldn't see the signs. Or, like, he jumps really quick to Genesis 6:14.
So quick. I would not realize the 6:14 thing.
I spend all day studying Torah. Yeah. I don't think I'd get it.
I also feel like, there's like one of the things that the film lacks is a scene where he's just like texting his group chat being like, you guys, the craziest shit is happening to me right now.
Oh, he doesn't have any friends.
My alarm keeps going off at 6:14 and then his group chat's like, bro, no one cares. We have a 9-to-5. You know what I mean? Like, there's not enough him just be sitting with the confusion of it. He just automatically jumps to something is wrong.
Yeah.
It must be God.
It's interesting too how the movie, I mean, in the Chumash, it's that we are told that Noah is a righteous man and he walks with God. But in the movie, he's framed as the exact wrong person for the job. He does not like to work with his hands. He hates animals. I appreciate like some of the smaller biblical references.
Right.
But like I said to you, I just feel like they didn't say no to any joke
really
in this
didn't.
Movie.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. So it's like, and they lay it on a little thick. Like at the beginning, she's like, didn't you say you want to change the world?
Yeah.
What do you pray for? I was like, ugh, we get it. Yeah,
no one cares. But can I push back on your previous point?
Oh, yeah.
You said that you think that Noah is like, he's not the right guy for the job, right?
Well, in the movie,
Steve Carell. Evan Almighty, Evan Baxter is not the right man for the job.
Right.
But I think there's something like, because what I was thinking about in the very beginning is, there's like the various, like very, very famous Rashi. Like, what does it mean that Noah was like, what is it? righteous in his days, right? Like
Bedoratav.
Yeah. Bedoratav, sorry. Ish tadik tamim haya Bedoratav. Like, he was a righteous man. They say blameless, but like, they focus on like Bedoratav in his age, right? And there's the comparison between Avraham and Noach.
Like I told you, this is what my bat mitzvah devar was
exactly
on.
So you know this Rashi.
Mm-hmm.
And in Rashi's drash, he says that Noach was okay for his generation, right? Like, mm-hmm. he was the best of a bad lot. He wasn't necessarily a great guy,
right?
And part of me sees that in Evan Almighty, I hate to say it. But you have this guy who, he wants to make the world a bit better. He's trying his best. You know, he manages to get elected to Congress. He's an average Joe. And when you're in, and if you, especially in Congress, like, he's the best out of a bad bunch. He's, John Goodman is in this movie, by the way. And he's the bad guy in it.
Yeah.
And I think especially, like, with how politicians often viewed, they're the bad guys, and you always have this, like, all of movies about politicians are about, like, the one guy who thinks they're different, the one guy who thinks he rises above the rest. All of those guys are the Noachs of their Congress.
I lived in DC for a while,
yeah,
and I don't think that's, like, really the culture. That's not really how politicians are.
But it's also like the U.S. Congress that I see is one that comes through film and television. I see Australian politics.
Were you a West Wing watcher?
I've watched The West Wing, but it's not like my personality, like it is for a lot of people who watch The West Wing. I don't know, I watched House of Cards.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've seen Independence Day, that's got the president. I've seen Olympus Has Fallen.
That's got the president. House of Cards is like a bizarre, like, I feel like The West Wing is much more what you were saying of, like,
yes.
everybody's out to change the world. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I was at, like, a thrift store recently, and there was this, like, old dude. You know that one that's up on, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's up on Rachel Imenu.
Okay.
There's this little tiny thrift store, and there's this, like...
Oh, it's on the near the roundabout?
Exactly.
I know exactly which one, yeah.
And so there's this, like, old man sitting, this old Israeli man, like, buying clothes, and he hears me and you're done talking to each other, and he's like, oh, you two are American? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, or he's like, you're from America? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, Kennedy. Literally all he said, and I was like, "Ma," and he's like, "Kennedy."
What is it,
I was
1963?
Like,
1963.
Why? Yes. Are you saying I look like Jackie O? Because thank you.
That's so funny. That's literally the equivalent of someone hearing my accent and being like, "Put a shrimp on the Barbie."
Yeah.
But like, oh man.
There are worse things I could say. I won't say them because Kennedy. I'm not
Kennedy. That's really funny.
Okay.
But yeah, Noah. What else about this movie? Feels like an obvious choice for them to turn it into an environmentalism like show.
Well, you brought this up while we were watching it, but like, they get when he comes to Noah and he's like, "Oh, you know, this is an opportunity to spend more time with your family."
Right. Yeah,
this is like, he makes it into this like, "Oh, this is about bringing like the 4-5 of them together," but that's absolutely not what Noah is about.
Well, I like that he brings in, like, that famous mashal of, like, you're stuck on an island and you ask God to help you, but then a helicopter comes
right.
and you don't get on the helicopter. But, like, you know, it's like
right.
that. God gives you the opportunities. I think that...
Which I thought was an interesting chidush of, like...
100%.
Especially for... It's funny because, well, we just had a shiur, a pardes, from Judy Klitzner, where she was comparing Yonah and Noah.
I was going to bring that up later.
Because we, like, because... Noah, both of them like respond to being given a prophecy in a very specific way.
Yeah.
Like Noah immediately like asks no questions, just as like God's like, build an ark. Okay, I'm building an ark. But then Yonah like runs away from it. But then they both at the end up super unhappy. Which the last time I read Yonah, I couldn't help but think like, isn't that super depressing? Like, God comes to you and gives you a prophecy, and you're like, wow, this is the most important I'll ever be in my life.
Right, yeah.
Like, no wonder he's so depressed. And Noah, too. He's like, I just had the craziest adventure of my whole life, and now
yeah.
it's over.
Well, that's also, they said something in the movie that really, like, that, you know, I hate it when it happens. I hate when movies give me actual food for thought, and I'm like, this is dumb. This is like 22% on Rotten Tomatoes, and you're making me think about it properly. I think it was Joan's character, maybe, or maybe it was Evan's character, of, like, this idea that you sacrifice your personal life for the sake of what God wants. And I thought about that specifically with Yona. And I was like, this would be a much better movie if it was like Yona as the titular character instead of Noah. Mm. This idea of like running away from your problems. You don't want to be the prophet of God. But also, yeah, like they bring it up in the movie, but I think it's just like you said, you know, these men are the prophets of God. They have to put their entire lives on the line. Like, who cares what Noah was doing before he was building the ark? Then he was just the ark guy for the next umpteen years.
Right.
And then there's the famous mafarish about Noah. Like, the timing doesn't really work out. Like, if you look at the dates, it takes like 100 years to build this ark, which makes sense because he's one guy with his sons. But it's also, it says that, because we jump right into the text, Noah doesn't, like, in the shot, Noah just goes for it. He doesn't try and stop God like Abraham does. He doesn't try and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this Mephara says it took so long because he built it really slowly, and he'd wait for his neighbors to come up to him, like in the movie, and say, like, why are you building a giant boat in your front yard in the 8 plots of land that you bought without your wife knowing?
Right.
And then Noah tried to tell them about this flood that was coming and tried to warn them.
And they all just...
And they just ignored it.
Laughed in his face.
Exactly. And I feel like part of me is like, this movie's entire thesis is, what if Noah tried to warn everyone? And I'm like, well, a rabbi thought of that a long time ago and wrote it down as a different story.
Right. I mean, he really does, like, people, it becomes a spectacle, which makes sense. If somebody was building an ark this big.
Yeah. That's why I like that mafarish, because it is simple, because if there was a giant ark in my neighbor's yard, I'd be like, that guy's up to something, and I'm curious to find out what.
I think I'd go help.
I wouldn't.
I'd also, be like,
in this universe where I exist in the Bible, I don't have social anxiety, so I wouldn't just wonder about it, but I would go and ask and actively inquire about what it was.
I hope that I would, like, be like, yeah, I'm in. Let's build this ark.
You'd hope. I don't think I would.
He's like, God told me, and I don't have
I don't have the upper body strength.
I know that guy.
I don't have the strength to build an ark.
Oh. That's true. My talents would be spent elsewhere.
To, like, paint the side of the ark.
Right. Yeah. I'll paint a mural on the ark.
Nice. I'm like, I love that feel.
I'll decorate everyone's bedroom on the ark.
Oh, I didn't like that, like, no one in that movie was Jewish. All of the jokes were, like, New Testament jokes or Christianity jokes.
Yeah.
It's boring. It's exhausting. Wrong testament, you guys.
Right. It's like, what have the Jews been doing? This is like what we were born for, to have a movie. I like your idea of having a Yona movie. I think we're like missing. Is there a cartoon one?
I don't know. But
he's in Kingdom Hearts.
But I have a much better idea for a sequel to this movie, which I told you about on the couch, which is make it a trilogy. The third one is called Abe Almighty. And it's a retelling of Akedat Yitzchak.
And what would you do? It's the same question. Exactly.
And then God comes and Morgan Freeman's this happy-go-lucky guy, and he's like, gotta kill your son.
Murder your son.
And then it's still a wacky comedy. That's the thing. It's still like some slapstick guy going like, whoa, and like falling off things.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he has to decide whether he's going to kill his son or not. There's also a line at the beginning of the movie that I liked where Morgan Freeman as God appears. And Evan goes, do I know you? And then God goes, not as well as I'd like.
Shady. That's shady.
It's like that man has to go to church more. That man has
to. Wow. Okay. Also, Wanda Sykes did end up being a church-going woman.
Yeah, halfway through. Like, this is nothing to do with the parasha. This is just, like, you know, analysis of film that Wanda Sykes played. She was, like, the black woman stereotype best friend. And then halfway through, Valerie made the point of,
like, she should have just been a black woman who goes to church, because that's also a similar type of stereotype, but like,
would serve the story.
Right.
Like, she could give him the idea that something biblical is going on. Right. But instead, then they made a joke at the end of, like, she's a black woman who goes to church on every Sunday. And then it's like, they know she's lying, so she says, on some Sundays.
Yeah.
And so they've just fulfilled both stereotypes.
I know, it's too bad.
I think she's the only person of color in that movie.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Well, there are, like, other background characters, but she's definitely the only one with lines.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Jonah Hill's in this movie. He had a big year in 2007.
Well, okay, this is like, also we were talking about weird time for Steve Carell to do this.
Yeah, this
movie.
This is 2 years into The Office being on air, and he decides to make the masterpiece of Evan Almighty.
Right, and it's a stacked cast. Like
huge cast.
Think.
Lauren Graham, Jonah Hill, Morgan Freeman, John Goodman. It's because.
You think, and.
Ed Helms.
Okay, do you think the dance scene at the end. Like, they do this kind of, like, not a bloopers reel, but people dancing reel. Yeah. A la Shoshana's reference at the top of the show.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah. It seemed like a fun movie to work on. Like, it seemed like they were having
fun.
A good time.
I think a lot of bad movies are fun to work on. I also think what's really weird about this is that I feel like usually really bad sequels happen very soon after the original movie that's a success, like within a year or two. Mm. This was made 4 years after Bruce Almighty. It was released 4 years later.
Steve,
that's
Carell
a long
really
time for them to think this through and decide every step of the way this is a good idea.
Well, they just had to come up with enough jokes. They literally came up with the bare minimum of jokes, and they were like, yep, that one's good.
The realtor was called Eve Adams.
That's good.
At one point, this was my favorite joke that I laughed out loud for a long time. Evan goes, "That's not in my plan," and then God laughs hysterically at him. And then
Evan's just like looking at him confused, and he's like, "Plans."
And then, because I didn't get it either, you guys, don't worry. Because like, man plans and God laughs, like that saying. Classic.
That one was decent.
That was a good joke.
It feels like they could have had more material to work with.
Yeah, like, why didn't they include the end scene of
right,
of
he
Evan's
plants a vineyard and gets
vineyard
drunk.
And then bad things happen.
Does that happen in the Russell Crowe movie?
I can't remember. I think something along... I remember the vineyard happens and he gets drunk, but I don't remember exactly. I think the Noah one's interesting because it plays a lot more with Mepharshim, with, like, the grittiness of the text. But Darren Aronofsky, he's a divisive guy. I'd understand why you didn't like it.
Yeah, I also thought it was very heavy-handed, but in, like, an attempt to be Game of Thrones, but it wasn't as polished as Game of Thrones.
Right.
Like, I feel like they can make, I mean, same as they could make a Dark Yona that I think would be super cool.
Yeah, it would be.
But, oh my god, a Dark Yona with him in the belly of the whale would be, like...
Do you think there's a connection between Pinocchio and Yona that we could find in depth? I was thinking about that today in Judy Klitzner's class. Also, I can say that we're in Judy's class, but, and again, this is a fun plug for everyone involved. Judy Klitzner has a book called Subversive Sequels about stories in Tanakh that sort of play with the same themes and narrative elements of earlier stories, but subvert them in some way. And one of the main examples of that is the Noah story and the Jonah story. And there's a lot of parallels. There's lots of subversions with Yonah. It's really cool. You guys should... I heavily recommend it. I have a copy. I'm currently working my way through
and
it.
And you have a promo code with Corin.
Oh, I do have a promo code with Karen. 10% off. Use J, the letters J, M, E. M for Mary. M for Miriam. M for Moshe. J-M-E.
What's the E?
And I don't know. They just gave me the code and I was like, thank you. More books, please. 10% off. Again, I really recommend Judy's book. Last question. If you had to cast the story of Noah, you have to cast the roles of God in this scenario, and the way that God behaves in this story, you have to cast Noah, as some people call him Noach, you have to cast Noach, and you have to cast the wife of Noah, who some call Naama.
Or Joan.
Or Joan in Evan Almighty. No, but you're not casting Evan Almighty, you're casting the story of Noah. Who would you cast?
Is it like a comedy or
up to you.
Like
up
Evan
to you,
Almighty?
Man. Up to you.
Okay, I think I want to do a gritty version. Mm-hmm. I think I want to cast. How about Eugene Levy? Dan Levy could be in it too.
Ooh,
as one of his sons.
Interesting. Okay, who's God? Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, yes.
Schitt's Creek reunion, but it's a gritty Noah sequel.
Meryl Streep, but as her character in The Devil Wears Prada.
I think I was going to say Donna from Mamma Mia. I know that makes way more sense. Okay, and who's Naama?
This feels like the challenging one.
Yeah.
I mean, all I can see is Anne Hathaway now because I just mentioned the Devil Wears Prada.
It's not Emily Blunt.
I feel like they're not a pair.
Emily Blunt and Meryl Streep. They could be. Give them time.
No.
Emily Blunt.
Actually, this would be an excellent lesbian movie to cast.
Oh, okay. So who's Naya?
Oh, Ruby Rose.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Okay, no.
You have Timothy Chalamet and Ruby Rose. Oh my god, get it together.
Okay, no. Ruby Rose is Nama.
Okay.
And Jennifer Coolidge. No, not that's not who I'm thinking
Connelly.
Of.
Connelly?
Jennifer Connelly.
Nice.
Solid. Is her wife is Noah.
Cool. Okay. It's a solid cast. Who's good?
And Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Okay, cool.
Like a slightly dark, an even darker version of
interesting.
The character she plays in Devil Wears Prada.
I would, even darker than that, I would do, I think my Noah is Idris Elba.
Ooh, yeah. Love that.
My Naama is Lupita Nyong'o. But I can't think of who God would be in this scenario. I think, and this is also taking, like you said, Jennifer Connelly before, taking inspiration from Noah, I think my God in this scenario would be Anthony Hopkins.
That's a scary...
God?
Yeah.
You mean the God who earlier said, I want to destroy the world?
Wow.
Also, wait,
do you think it's a conflict of interest because he was in the two popes?
Nice. That's about it. Anything else before we say goodbye?
Well, I guess by the time people are hearing this, Gemar Chatzimah Tova won't be relevant.
It won't be.
Okay. Well, good choy bis. Good night.
Bye.
Good luck. Bye.
See you next time, hopefully. Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast.
Thanks for listening. We've heard that some people want to follow along with us. So we just wanted to let you know that for next week,
we will be reading Parshat Lech Lecha.
Lech Lecha, the next Parsha. Do you know the verses off the top of your head?
Lech Lecha starts at Bereshit Yud Bet, which is 12.
Just so you know, Shoshana is looking in a Tanakh. So no, the answer is no, she doesn't.
I knew that off the top of my head.
And we will be discussing the movie Stepmom, 1998, Julia Roberts, Susan Sarandon.
An underrated classic.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
So, looking forward to seeing you all. Well, not seeing you. Looking forward to being in your ear holes next week.
That's the worst possible way you could have ended that. Thank you so much. Just say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. It's perfect.